Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, January the 20th, 170 migrants are feared drowned in the Mediterranean in two incidents involving dinghies that left from Libya and Morocco. The Pope expresses his sorrow. Thousands of people protest in Athens to voice their opposition to an agreement with Macedonia that's due for ratification in the Greek Parliament. But first, Pope Francis, during the Sunday Angelus, offers his prayers following a recent attack in Colombia and launches a new Click and Pray app profile. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Ho due dolori nel cuore.
Pope Francis, during the Sunday Angelus from St. Peter's Square, said he had two sorrows in his heart, Colombia and the Mediterranean. He said, "I'm thinking of the 170 shipwrecked victims in the Mediterranean. They were looking for a future for their lives, victims perhaps of human traffickers. We pray for them and for those responsible for what has happened." The UNHCR says there were two separate Mediterranean shipwrecks. The first boat reportedly disappeared with 53 people on board at the western end of the Mediterranean, while the second sank off the coast of Libya with 117 people on board. It's estimated that over 2,200 people lost their lives trying to cross the Mediterranean in 2018 in search of a better life.
Desidero assicurare la mia vicinanza al popolo colombiano. Dopo il grave attacco terroristico di giovedì scorso alla Scuola Nazionale della Polizia.
The Pope also had words of comfort for the people of Colombia, telling them he was close to them following a serious terrorist attack that took place last Thursday at the National Police College. He said he was praying for the victims and their families, adding that he was praying for the path of peace in the country. Following the recitation of the Marian prayer, the Pope reminded the faithful in St. Peter's Square that he would be travelling to Panama for World Youth Day, which will take place from the 22nd to the 27th of January. "I ask you," he said, "to pray for this very beautiful and important event in the journey of the Church." During his address, the Pope noted that the coming week will see the publication of the message for the World Day of Social Communications, which this year contains a reflection on network communities and the human community. He said the internet and social media are a resource of our time, an opportunity to stay in touch with others, to share values and projects, and to express the desire to create communities. The network can also help us pray together, he said. With that in mind, Pope Francis unveiled the official platform of the World Network of Prayer of the Pope, Click to Pray.
Vorrei presentarvi la piattaforma ufficiale della rete mondiale di preghiera del Papa, Click to Pray.
Here, he said, "I will insert the intentions and requests for prayer for the mission of the Church." The Pope then invited especially young people to download the Click to Pray app to pray the rosary for peace with him, especially during World Youth Day in Panama. Before the recitation of the Angelus prayer, Pope Francis focused on Sunday's gospel reading, the wedding at Cana. The Pope emphasised that Jesus' miracle of changing the water into wine was done not to arouse wonder, but to reveal the Father's love. The Pope explained that it is not by chance that at the beginning of Jesus' public life there is a wedding ceremony. In fact, he went on to say, the whole mystery of the sign at Cana is based on the presence of this divine spouse who is beginning to make himself known. Jesus, the Pope said, manifests himself as the spouse of God's people, announced by the prophets, and reveals to us the depth of the relationship that unites us to him. It is a new covenant of love. Well, as you heard there, it's feared that up to 170 migrants have drowned in the Mediterranean in two incidents involving dinghies that left from Libya and Morocco this weekend. Nathan Morley has more.
This kind of tragedy is all too familiar. An inflatable dinghy sinking after the sheer weight of those on board leads it to capsize. According to media reports, an Italian military pilot spotted one dinghy sinking in rough seas on Friday. Soon after, the pilot dropped two safety rafts into the water, but had to leave due to a shortage of petrol. Then, a little bit later, a naval helicopter rescued three people who were suffering from severe hypothermia. The survivors said they had left Libya as part of a group of 120 people, mainly from Africa. They also told how the boat started to sink 10 hours into their journey, resulting in countless deaths. A A follow-up rescue operation failed to find any survivors. Hundreds of people have already lost their lives in recent months in almost identical circumstances. People traffickers illegally moving migrants and refugees remains a lucrative business in Libya. In the second incident, 53 migrants who left Morocco on a dinghy into the western Mediterranean region are missing, according to a Spanish non-government organisation. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In a bid to break the shutdown stalemate, President Donald Trump offered to extend temporary protections for young people brought to the US illegally as children and those fleeing disaster zones in exchange for his long-promised border wall. But while Trump cast the move as a common-sense compromise, Democrats were quick to dismiss it as a non-starter. The president hit back by saying his plans had been dismissed before he had even presented them. Congo's Constitutional Court confirmed the victory of Felix Tshisekedi, dismissing the claims of massive vote fraud by runner-up Martin Fayulu. Tshisekedi welcomed the court's decision, confirming him as the winner of the presidential election, saying it was a victory for the entire country. Two men were arrested early this morning over a car bomb attack in the city of Derry in Northern Ireland. Officers said police were looking into whether the new IRA militant group was responsible. The men in their 20s were detained hours after the explosion on Saturday evening outside the city's courthouse. No one was injured. A large fire broke out this morning at the French ski resort of Courchevel, killing two people and injuring 22, four seriously. The fire started before in a building housing seasonal workers. Dozens of firefighters battled to bring the blaze under control. The cause has not yet been known. Tens of thousands of people massed in Syntagma Square in central Athens on Sunday to voice their opposition to an agreement with neighbouring Macedonia that's due for ratification in the Greek Parliament. From Athens, John Carr reports.
Many were bussed in from all over Greece and some came from as far away as Australia to join the mass protest. The flag-waving and banner-carrying protesters yelled charges of treason against the government of Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras, who worked out the initial deal last summer. Violence erupted when a group of hotheads tried to storm a police barrier in front of the National Parliament and were driven back by tear gas. Tsipras and supporters of the deal claim it will ease a chronic source of Balkan tensions, but at least 6 out of 10 Greeks won't buy it. They claim that Tsipras has surrendered intangible Greek cultural and identity traits to a Slavic nation which called itself Macedonia in defiance of history. Some fear it could encourage design on the Greek province of Macedonia. The opposition New Democracy Party has vowed to vote against ratification. The violence today was widely expected as Greece's media and opposition have been whipping up chauvinist sentiment, and parliamentary deputies in favour of ratification have been receiving threats over social media. Today's mass rally is unlikely to change Tsipras's mind, but it does remind him that whatever he does to try and alleviate Balkan tensions by mending a fence or two with Macedonia, he'll get a rough ride at home. I'm John Carr in Athens for Vatican News.
During their annual visit to the Holy Land, which concluded this week, the Bishops' Coordination Group visited a refugee camp in Jenin in the West Bank, which houses 14,000 people. The camp is run by UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, which is also aiding refugees in Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, East Jerusalem and Gaza. Travelling with the bishops on this annual trip to support the Christian community living in the Holy Land is Sean Farrell, head of international development with TROCRA, Ireland's Catholic Development Agency. He spoke to us about life at the camp and the resilience of people despite hardship.
It's densely populated with very high levels of unemployment and clearly high levels of poverty. And in Jenin, we visited a school run by UNRWA, United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees. And we also walked around Jenin to meet a number of people in the town and in the refugee camp. I think the thing that first of all struck me is that first of all, all across the West Bank, we are dealing with, first of all, the reality of occupation. 50 years of occupation of the West Bank, you know, the crippling of the Palestinian economy, their loss of their land, the increasing encroachment of settlements, and also just the huge suffering of the population, both Christian and Muslim, right across the West Bank. And in Jenin, for example, we met young girls who were clearly traumatized as a result of the Israeli Defense Force raids at night time into built-up Palestinian areas. You know, the use of shock grenades, the use of live ammunition in very urban built-up areas, and the trauma that young people had as a result of that. So I think right across our trip, we have been meeting people who have been very much suffering with the reality of the occupation. And I think on one side, we could see the resilience of people. We could see the resilience of people in Jenin, their hopes for a better future. I was speaking to the organizations that we work with in Gaza. And there again, there is huge resilience of people and huge, huge determination to continue despite the problems. But on the other side, it does seem that, you know, the potential of a two-state solution is further away now than ever.
And finally, Pope Francis this week received in audience Lieutenant General Romeo Dallaire, founder of the Romeo Dallaire Child Soldiers Initiative. The initiative is a global partnership based at Dalhousie University in Canada. It works to progressively eradicate the use and recruitment of child soldiers and aims to promote child safety by providing children with training and tools to prevent their armed recruitment. The General first experienced the problem of child soldiers as commander of the US assistance mission to Rwanda during the 1994 genocide. He spoke to us about his meeting with Pope Francis.
There had been initial contacts over a year ago, but it did come about through assistance and interest, certainly him in the subject. And he's been writing and speaking on it since 2013, the early stuff we've read on it. So there was a significant mutual interest in knowing what we were doing. And us, we were very keen on gaining his support in the work that we're doing and bringing the Holy See into the exercise of influencing the world leaders to be engaged in particularly the situation of using children as instruments of war. So the opportunity of having the half hour with him in a most disarming scenario you could imagine. But what an attentive and committed leader that we've not seen in others. And even personally took notes on some of the stuff as we were working with him. He coins it with very brutal words. I mean, he's calling it like martyrdom. He's calling it slavery in a modern era. And I mean, he's on the mark by making this very, very real in the context of conflicts and the sustainment of conflicts, and that children could be, with child rights up front, could be a catalyst to peace versus right now they're an instrument of sustaining conflict.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter in the Vatican. Thank you for joining us.